You want to just save this for the show part? I mean, sounds pretty good.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, I was trying to, so you'd have some kind of.
Well,
So you'd have a typing, so you could type now and not during the show.
I just typed the headline and let Damon.
Okay, well, I thought you might want to know a little bit about it during
I
the show.
don't know anything about anything. We know this.
Well, I know.
As is, of course, the tradition.
What's up, Hootat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a big ol' zero. Trying something new this year. Not drinking. Even though that'll last about a week. Anyway, welcome to the premiere episode of the 2016 season, which ironically will just be a few little things here and there with a cool movie review at the end. So we're trying something new here. Not drinking and talking about movies. In the meantime, put your seatbelt on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Well, I'll make the sacrifice this week for everybody else. I'll go with the two.
All right.
Happy Wine Day, everybody.
Is it Wine Day?
Apparently it is today. I don't know. It seems every day there is something.
Well, yeah, there's always.
National Hot Dog Eating Day, National Cat Petting Day.
You can thank Facebook for that. Everybody's got a day.
National Badminton Day.
Right.
Every day there's something. Today is apparently National.
National Drink Out of a Plastic Cup Day.
Sure.
All right, Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you. Zero.
As is, of course, the tradition.
One of these days.
He's going to surprise us, folks.
I had a number.
You did have a number a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
You did.
The last year of December.
All right, let's get into game.
Nope. Thank you.
So, I guess.
Let's move on to Pick'em.
Nope. Thank you.
No segments this week. How's that?
Free fall. That I'm free. Free falling.
Yeah, I'm free. Free falling.
More of a hodgepodge kind of.
So let's talk Saints team related stuff. So Cam Jordan restructures his contract to free up, what was it, 4 million?
4.8 million yeah. They freed up. Converted his roster bonus, 6 million to a signing bonus. So it spreads it out. So instead of being 6 this year, it's 1.2 for the next 5 years.
So what's that make our cap space up to now?
Well, apparently with the new, the projected salary cap is higher. It's like
155.
Higher than we thought, or higher than last
no,
year?
I think it went up 9 or 10 million from last year.
Right,
so it was anticipated that.
Well, they never know exactly how much is going to go up.
Yeah, they have an idea, but it's not. It doesn't become official until. I mean, this was only like maybe a week or so ago the news came out that the official number was going to be.
Okay. So what does that give us in space?
Well, now we're projected to be under
seven and a half is what we're projected to be under. Right, as of right now. That's before restructuring Breeze. And
depending on what happens with Colston, Streif.
Right. And Browner, because we all know he's not going to be here.
Oh, yeah, but you're right. It's not a.
But, right. So, with Browner, there's a little website called overthecap.com. I'm sure everybody's familiar with it. And you can, you know, do some moves. Anyway, with Browner, if he's a June 1st cut, you save $2.5 million this year, so that would put us in the at the $9 million mark before anybody else. I mean, that's a pretty good
change.
We'll
have a little bit of room. Not a lot. We'll have a little. Mickey always manages to make it work somehow.
Well, goodness. I mean, last year, year before, you know, we were 120 over. So
what happens 7 million. When you're over? I mean, what happens if you go over?
You can't go over.
Can't go.
You have to make moves to get under that. You cannot be over.
Or what?
Or the NFL comes in and starts. They start.
Or they'll suspend you for a bounty.
No, seriously, they'll start canceling contracts for you.
When, boy? When? Are you going to get your act together? Don't walk away from me when I'm talking to you. You get a goddamn job before sundown, or we're shipping you off to military school with a goddamn Finkelstein shit kid. Son of a bitch.
And obviously, you can't go over, like, let's say you're at the edge. Well, they just won't, you know, they have to okay every contract you do. So... Gotcha. So they wouldn't okay any, you know, future contract.
Okay. So Bushrod was released from Chicago. All right.
Nope. Thank you.
If this was a visual episode,
that's right. Thanks.
I'd be walking in a revolving door and I wouldn't even get out. I'd just keep on walking around that. All right. I mean, yeah, if we're gonna get rid of
Jari Evans.
Yeah, Jari Evans.
Look, we need two guards. That's what we need. The hope is to go with Unger. You got Pete on one side, Armstead on the other side. You need two guards. However, you can get it.
Lelito become one of your starting guards?
I don't know. I don't know that he's that good. So hopefully not. Hopefully we get somebody back. Sorry, you may have to say goodbye. You may have to get a chalupa instead of a burrito.
I will if he's better. Okay. So the other thing is this.
You know what really grinds my gears?
This. Thing that came out as a news story, how Loomis says he wants to extend Breeze's contract, and then everybody pitches it like it's news, like, oh, Brute, the Saints are trying to keep Breeze for the long haul. No shit. He's under contract. And the only thing Loomis said was, yeah, I mean, we'd like to keep him for as long as he's good, you know, for the foreseeable future. That's not news. I mean, I'm glad to see the Saints in the news, don't get me wrong, but...
And knocking down that $27 million or $30
million. $30 million cap it, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nice too.
Yeah, dude, that's news when you do that.
Well, look, that's what you get. I mean, you're less than 2 weeks out from the Super Bowl. So if there is a slow NFL news cycle, I mean, this is the time right after when you got nothing to talk about. So, of course, any little minor thing, they're going to pump up and put out there because people love the NFL.
Which I find really funny, though, because all the same people that wrote about how Breeze was done. Because there's no news and they have to list the stats, I mean, Breeze led the league in passing, six out of the last 10 years?
He led the league in yards last year. And his interceptions were down. He had a really, really good season last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, didn't we go over that last week? I mean...
We did.
A little bit.
You know.
But everybody said he's done and, oh, the Breeze is going to be playing somewhere else next year.
Oh, the New York Jets. He was going to the Jets, wasn't he?
Just anywhere, just not here. But of course, we're gonna. He is still good. He can still get it done.
Especially with a line.
Right. Look what he did this year with that offensive line. That's all you need to know of how good he is.
Right.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see. I mean, how many years do you think?
I think it has to. I mean, he's 37 starting this year.
He's 37 now. It will be an extension on to basically this coming year. So it'll be whatever. Like, if it's a 3-year extension, it'll be this year and the 3 more years.
All right. Well, I think you sort of. I don't know.
I mean, he's going to need more than. It's going to have to be at least 3, right?
It's going to be a 3-year extension, which would be 4 years, like you said, counting this year. And you're just going to have to eat you're going to have to eat whatever the signing bonus, you know, split amongst the years are.
Right.
Because he's not going to, more than likely, he's not going to be playing that fourth year.
So do you go?
At 41, more than likely.
Do you go like 3 years, $50 million with like a $30 million signing bonus? You think he's going to go for more than 3 years and $50 million? It's like, that's just a number. I'm just tossing out there. I don't know what.
Right. I know. I mean, look, what I'd like to see is average $20 million over the next.
2 years?
Three. Well, no, over the next three. Over the next three years. Averaging $20 million with in salary.
So you could do 3 years, $50 or $55 million, but with a bunch guaranteed so that he gets.
Right, right.
Over the next 2 years, he gets a lot.
Right. If in the salary, maybe we're only eating $10 million of dead money.
Right. Whenever we.
Right.
He's 40, 40. Okay.
And God knows we like dead money, so I mean, we don't care.
We love dead money, man. Money, just money, like money, money.
Dead money and Deadpool.
Money. Ooh. Mm. I see what you did there.
But yeah, I mean, that's what I'd like to see. I mean, $20 million a year, I think, is...
Look, he's worth it.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
He's worth it.
Goodness, yeah. With a
guy, a guy like him, we have a chance.
I don't know what they're paying Matt Ryan, but I know it's too much. You know, I don't know what they're paying Matt Ryan or what he cost against the cap, but it's too much.
It's going to be a lot. It's going to, you know, he signed basically a similar contract as Breeze. Right. So he's got the same thing coming up for Atlanta.
So the other thing that came out was like CJ Spiller was in the news, and apparently we're keeping him for another year, and they're saying that even though they said all year last year he's not injured, it's not the injury. Now they're saying, well, it was the injury that was...
Every freaking year we talk about it, you know, Sean Payton's tight lip, we don't want to know anybody know what we're doing, is getting freaking old. Because every year it's somebody.
It was definitely Spiller. Something... whether it was injury or something else, something was wrong with Spiller this year.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Loomis comes out and says, oh, this year you're going to see the real CJ Spiller.
Right. Really?
Well,
I hope we do.
I hope, right. If he's as good as they think he is, I hope to God. But, I mean, wasn't last year.
No, God, no.
And that was just disgusting what he did. Yeah, one play. $4 million for one play.
Well, that's an expensive play.
It was a fun play.
But did we hear, I mean, the injury, do we know what it might be or no?
When you read the article, I read.
It was just his knee. It was never right.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's good because, I mean, we heard from every Tom, Dick, and Harry on our kit.
Got it?
All the media was saying, you know, oh, he's too stupid to pick up the
playbook.
They're going to get rid of him. Sean Payton hates him because he can't pick up the playbook. I mean, I'm glad to know that's not the case.
Well, I don't know that it wasn't the playbook, but I think Peyton was probably pissed with him for whatever reason.
Being hurt? Peyton doesn't seem like that kind of guy.
But, I mean, I don't know. If he was hurt, I don't really have a lot of faith in the Saints/Pelicans medical staff right now. I think they're pretty shitty.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're...
The Saints medical staff? Yeah.
The Saints and Pelicans medical staff has...
And like strength and conditioning, all of it.
These two franchises have had so many injuries over the last 5 to 10 years.
It's fucking Oshner, man. Oshner's
it is,
garbage.
No, it is.
Oshner's garbage.
Oshner's not good. Yeah, you're right. Oshner's not good. And
look,
my dad was telling me a lot of these organizations that end up being the doctors for teams and organizations, they pay to have that privilege.
Right.
So it's not like the Saints are paying them for being good. They Benson's a businessman. He takes the highest bidder.
Well, I mean,
Oshner's the highest bidder.
Well, we see that in the Oshner banner behind the Saints when they do press conferences. You know how they do that nowadays? You know, when they do a press conference, they put this big banner behind.
Yeah.
Isn't Oshner the one on it? You know, so maybe that was part of that deal, too.
Well, it's a bad deal. We're getting fucked. Sell out with me. Oh, yeah. Sell out with me tonight. The record company's gonna give me lots of money and everything's gonna be alright. These training staffs are terrible. I mean, I hope to God he gets healthy this year. Everybody gets healthy, but you know there's gonna be some stupid shit. They're gonna misdiagnose something. It's gonna be an initial 2 weeks. It's gonna end up costing 3 months. That's the way everything goes around here. It's fucking frustrating. You need to fix that shit, Tom.
Deal.
Whoever! I mean, whoever, if you don't have healthy players and you got medical staff fucking up your players, I mean,
you know who wouldn't tolerate that shit? Rita.
Dude, we really might need Rita back.
No.
You say ever since she left, we've been shit.
No, he left this year. This was the first year without her.
Oh, she got phased out earlier.
No, don't try to.
Come on. Yeah. I know. Whatever. I don't know. But
I mean,
this medical staff has been a problem, I think. So hopefully we see what Spiller can give us. I mean, it seems like it should have worked out. He's got good athletic ability.
Right. And he was going to be our next Sproles. And look, hopefully now that knee surgery, did the knee injury, was it hurt in preseason or did
It was hurt during training camp is when he got hurt. Like, he came to OTA, or maybe the end of OTAs, but at the beginning of OTAs, he came in and looked good.
Right, because he set out that first game or the first couple of games, and if I'm not mistaken, that Dallas game was his first game back, right?
It was either that game or the week before, but yeah. Yeah, because he missed the first couple of games of the season.
Right, and
something they thought, oh yeah, it's just a little minor, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, well, you had Bird coming over, freaking injured.
Bird. I mean, even like Holiday on the Pelican side, all the injuries.
For the last
Pelicans event, Tyreek Evans. Look what happened to Tyreek Evans.
Since 2010, our secondary has been decimated every year. Feels like it.
Yeah, well, Spiller doesn't play with their secondary, but
no. But I'm just saying, about injuries, just constantly.
Just, I mean, like, look at all the fucking sports hernias this team has had.
Would that be conditioning? Your conditioning coach, or that, like you said, that's your trainers and your medical staff.
It's funny that we ask the same questions about the Saints and the Pelicans.
Uh-huh. Right.
Same exact questions. So it's in that whatever's going on in that building is being done incorrectly.
I'll buy that. No. I mean, obviously, look, there's injuries like Keenan Lewis's or God forbid Jabari Greer's, which
that's kind of a freak thing.
Right.
But it just seems like we got a ton of random minor injuries that end up being longer than they should, and we can't ever stay healthy ever. I mean, I can't remember the last time the Pelicans had a fully healthy season. It was probably 2007-08.
That's why I
probably
have said
the last time.
I'm glad you're finally realizing this, Jason, because I've been saying that for years.
What have you been saying?
Every time, every year we go into Pelican season, Jason's like, "Oh, we're gonna do playoffs and blah blah blah," and then I'll bring up, "Oh, but we're going to get hurt. We're going to have injuries for playing." Or mid-season, when Jason's trying to explain why we didn't live up to expectations because of injuries, it's never a surprise.
It all happens every year.
It's not a surprise. It's that standard.
It's an annual tradition.
That's it.
It is an annual tradition.
Did you say it's an annual tradition? What are you saying?
Barry Swanson. Wool. Host. Annual.
Host.
Host.
Annual.
Annual. Needing of.
Yeah. It really sucks that this is happening to both franchises. It really sucks. So to me, obviously, something is wrong. Something is wrong. I'd like to get it fixed. Sick of dealing with this shit. We need to get a new group of doctors in there, a new group of trainers, whatever it takes. Because what is going on right now is not working.
We'll move
on. Sorry for that tangent, folks.
How'd we get there? Okay, so the next thing is the Superdome is now listed on the National Registry of Historic Places. But it wasn't easy to get it there? Or they didn't want it to be there?
How it happened was, let me see. There was this girl taking a class at Tulane, Amanda something or other. And the Master of Preservation Studies program, again, the spring of 2015. She was studying the National Register nomination process in an economics and business of preservation class. So the professor gave somebody gave everybody a building, you know, where they could pick a building. And they were supposed to do it for class, not actually do it, you know, just so they could learn, you know. And anyway, he picked a Superdome, and in her words, I decided to just keep going with it and actually nominate it for real, And then apparently, it was chosen, whatever process it goes through, it was chosen, and like Doug Thornton he knew nothing about it until they rewarded it to him, and they really did not want that to happen. I'm not sure why. I think one of the reasons, because when you're on the national registries, I know it's more difficult to change the structure, you know. And obviously with the Saints or with the Superdome, it has to continually to change to be relevant in the NFL. And I'm not sure if that's going to affect it or if it's more of just a kind of an honorary thing, because the Dome is a public building. It's not a private, you know, it's owned by the state. So anyway, but I mean, it's on the registry now. Woohoo. I think it definitely should be there.
The Astrodome's there, right?
Yeah. And it's sitting empty next to the whatever. I don't even know what, what Texas calls
it. Is it still Reliant Stadium?
No, God, no. Wasn't it Minute? No, that was the
baseball. Baseball was
Minute Maid Field at one time, and then it was.
No. Now it's Minute Maid. It was Enron Field.
Oh, okay.
Good old Enron Field.
Enron stopped paying their bills when they run out of money.
Yeah, they got caught in fucking fraud.
Yeah, so I don't know. What y'all think about that?
Hooray!
Yeah, okay. There's enough buildings in New Orleans. No offense, that no one will. You know, you can't change. You can't do anything with them.
Yeah, that's why you make them historical places, and then.
Right. I mean, look.
And then you can't, you know, demolish, renovate, because people are like, oh no, it's historic. That's what's gonna happen to the dome. Now the dome's just gonna, even when we get a new football stadium at some point, when that's gonna happen, the dome will still be here.
I mean, I don't ever want a new football stadium.
Look, I love the dome. I love it. I
love the dome. If they change the stadium, I mean, okay, yeah, I'm not going to be crushed. That's fine. You want to change the stadium? Change the stadium. I mean,
if they could really, really, really gut the inside. And just replace it with modern everything.
I don't know if they could do that, though.
At that point, they would just say, well, let's just build something else.
Right. I don't know.
And maybe you can't. Maybe this is as good as we can get in this current facility. I don't know.
Where would you build a new stadium?
I mean, it would probably have to be like New Orleans East.
Oh, God, then fuck you. Don't do it.
But look, I mean, there's so much space out there to build something.
And no one wants to go there.
Well, exactly. But look, a lot of the NFL stadiums aren't in the city like this is. That is what makes the Superdome perfect, is because it's inside the city.
That's right.
If you build something else, it's not going to be quite as close. I think there was one spot along the river that was kind of close.
There was one spot they proposed over by the convention center, which is supposed to be phase, I don't know, 5 or 6. Of the convention, you know, building up. So it's over by that old power plant.
Okay. But I think there are like proposals to make like an entertainment district down there instead, if like something new with like a concert venue and all this kind of stuff down there.
Nobody wants to do that.
Somebody will do something. They're converting
in open air versus closed roof.
Well, we would definitely have to have, if we did anything, it would have to be
like Arizona's got.
It would have to be something like that.
I don't want a retractable. Just close the roof. I want a roof.
You know, the roof's fun, but man, like a cool 70-degree game in November would be kind of fun.
No, that's fine, but a nice 72-degree game, 16 or 10 games a year.
It is. It is.
You know, like I said, I went to one season, you know, and not even a season, what are the 4 games they played at Tiger Stadium? I was miserable all 4 games.
I mean. Well, but it was also, I mean, it was crazy circumstances, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, no, but I'm talking about the fact that, you know, one day it rained on me, you know, one day it was too cold.
The other days, Aaron Brooks was quarterback, and you're like.
Right, you know. One time, you know, apparently Tiger Stadium built it so the sun is always in the opponent's eyes, you know. The sun was in my fucking eye. And I'm like, what the fuck? This is just miserable. Superdome, roof. You come in, you take off your jacket or your rain umbrella, whatever you do. So I don't know.
I agree. The Superdome is a perfect environment to watch a game. You never have to worry about what watching the game is going to be like.
Right.
Anything else you guys got to throw out there? That's all the kind of headlines I had.
In terms of Saints, I don't have anything else. You want to do just a quick little Pelican play? Any way they can.
Yeah, yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw, too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty fall trying to stick with the prehistoric passenger.
So the NBA trade deadline, no major moves. Ryan Anderson's still here, Eric Gordon's still here. Well, I thought we'd get rid of him. We did make a small trade for a second-year player from Miami, Jarnell something.
Apparently he's a very big star.
Hold on.
Oh, what's his name?
Hold on.
I mean, if I tell you Brian Milne, you know who that is, okay?
Yeah. Well, but he was also
the most unlikely of heroes.
You know, from this guy.
Fame, and he will fade away into obscurity.
But he was a hero. So the Pelicans did make the minor move. They traded for a second-year player, Jarnell Stokes, from Miami. He's a 6'9 power forward. He played at Tennessee in college. Very young, doesn't have a lot of minutes on him. We got cash. We got over $700,000 in cash, which will cover whatever his salary is going to be. We may not even keep him on the team because they're looking to re-sign Bryce Dejean-Jones. So we'll see what happens with him. But the big news is that they didn't. Anderson is still here. Gordon's still here. There were a lot of rumors floating out about trades with Anderson, either to Sacramento or there was him going to Cleveland in a three-way deal. But he's still here. So, I mean, I hope it means that we just got terrible offers for him and we didn't get offered anything of significant value. Because, I mean, I would have taken him. I would have dealt him for a first-round pick. I would have dealt him for, you know, certain young players around the league that seem to be available. But we'll see what happens. So no major shifts. So they're probably not going to make the playoffs. The second half starts tomorrow night.
Really?
You know, yeah. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs.
You think so?
They're not going to make the playoffs.
Oh, right. No, yeah. I think, yes, we knew this after game five.
Well, we knew this after the 1-11 start, for sure.
Right.
But look, a lot of people thought Anderson would get dealt, and he didn't, and some people are mad that we couldn't get anything for him. But with the way the NBA works now, expiring contracts aren't worth what they used to, and there was no incentive to give up any value for a guy who in 2 months, there's no guarantee he's going to stay
right
there. So that's
exactly
that's what it came down to.
No,
because he said his agent came out and said he was going to test free agency this year. Which, look, he should. I don't blame him. He's going to make a lot of money this summer. Salary cap's going up. So that's the debate on whether or not
there's going to be so much money out there. There's going to be so many people overpaid this off season in the NBA.
It's probably best to like wait it out and see what happens this year because there's going to be a lot of money.
Oh,
there's going to be a lot of money flying everywhere. You're going to be amazed at some of the deals guys get.
And God forbid that we have Mickey Loomis, you know, doing the deals. And I know everybody loves Mickey. But you look at the situation we're in now, and that's all because of your Mickey Loomis. You know. He likes to give some bad deals.
I still don't understand the Oshik deal. Although, look, with the money flying around next year, Oshik's deal will go from the worst in the league to like just awful.
Right.
So it'll improve a little bit. I mean, $11 million for him. Just wait till you see guys that are going to get $20 million this summer. It's going to be pretty.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be insane. Now, do they, is it like in the NFL where they have to spend so much of their cap?
There is a floor. There is an NBA floor. I think that the Sixers were close to not hitting it, but I think at some point they are going to hit it. That's another reason why there's going to be more money out there. So we'll see. I mean, look, you got Davis, you got Holiday, and then let's see what happens. They should have a good pick in the draft, so at least it'll be exciting to watch the draft this year for the first time in a while. I mean, heaven forbid they get a top three pick or even somehow luck into the first pick and get Simmons. That would just be phenomenal.
Dude, how awesome would that be?
That would be just apeshit. Because on top of Pelicans fans, now you're pulling in a huge LSU crowd.
Right. That would be. Well, I mean, and just not pulling. I mean, yes, pulling in that crowd would be fucking.
You would
awesome.
Be pulling a crowd, but the fact that you're going to get a guy whose talent is top. Like, I mean, he's clearing away the best
talent.
He's clearing away going to be the number one pick in the draft. He still has stuff to work on, but everything is there for him to be a superstar. And if you get him and already having Davis, I mean, that's the miracle we kind of need. I mean, it's sad. That's what we got to pray for. A shitty fucking medical team. We got to pray for the miracle to get Simmons.
So we're going to get into our little movie review section of the show now. Talk Deadpool.
Dude, Deadpool, best comic book movie ever.
I'm not going to go ahead and say the best.
Yes.
It was great. I enjoyed it.
Best comic book movie ever. Just irreverent. They did a great job of really trying to, you know, capture the character.
They definitely did that.
Like, so many of these comic book movies, and if you're not a comic book fan, you don't get it. You know, I was a big comic book fan. I love The Punisher. Not one of these three Punisher movies have ever
been any good.
Right. They've all sucked. They've never really got, you know.
But now you got Punisher coming on the Netflix Daredevil series.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be bad, though.
Dude, the preview came out for
I'm looking more forward to Punisher on Netflix than I am Jessica Jones.
Dude, the trailer came out this week for Punisher season two. I mean, for Punisher. For Daredevil season two, it was all Punisher. He's going to be a big part of this season.
Oh, it's not a Punisher on Netflix. It's Punisher on Daredevil?
It's Daredevil season two.
Okay.
Daredevil season two and Punisher is going to be heavily involved. And it's your boy Shane from The Walking Dead.
Right. The Punisher and Daredevil have a long history.
But it's been mostly bad on film, but I think they're going to do it good justice on Daredevil.
So Deadpool did Breaking the Fourth Wall was a fantastic touch.
I love that.
It's perfect.
I love when they do that. This is definitely an adult movie. I mean, it is
rated R.
It is an R movie. And I'm wondering if you take your kids to it, how many of the jokes do they really get?
Well, but there's boobs. There's a strip club scene. Yeah.
Right. And then there's, I don't know the name, but his lady, you know, he.
Yeah.
They're doing the nasty. I really enjoy that.
They are doing it. They are doing it in the butt.
Yeah. I like her. I've liked her since she was on V.
She was, that's right.
Who was she on V? Not the main
alien.
She's on Gotham. Do y'all watch Gotham?
No.
Yeah, she's on Gotham?
Yeah, she's on season two in Gotham, yeah. Like, having Ryan Reynolds is the perfect smart ass. Like, well, you played Deadpool.
They're right. The part is meant for him, and I was
especially after they screwed up the
I love when they're bringing him in, then he's like, you know, oh, just don't make my suit tight
or animated, right? Don't make it right, don't give me a green suit,
yeah, don't make it animated. Later he made a comment about acting. He's like, yeah, you think Ryan Reynolds got around based on his method or
right for his great acting ability?
Yeah,
well, I heard a story, or I read, because I've been reading all about this Deadpool. And apparently when he did Blade Trinity.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, remember, he was in the last Blade movie, and that wasn't too hot. And he played, his character was something King, I forget. And the director told him, basically, you're Deadpool. And he said he wasn't familiar with who Deadpool was. So he started reading the comic. And that's when he kind of fell in love with the character.
Really good.
So then he did X-Men's Origin.
And that was a terrible representation.
Totally terrible. And the story there goes that when he saw the script or whatever, he told Fox, I think it is, you know, well, this isn't Deadpool. I don't, you know, I think there need to be changes in this. And the director told him, well, that could happen, or we could always get somebody else to play Deadpool. And so that's why he kind of
did it that way.
He wanted to do it, and there were thoughts that maybe when the movie was over, they would do a spinoff of Deadpool.
Well, a spinoff of Wolverine.
The problem is, I mean, they had Deadpool, and they fucking closed his mouth.
Right. Totally not. I mean, the whole thing is his character is a smart ass and makes funny comments.
So they did. So this was a Fox movie, this Deadpool?
Yeah. Deadpool is quote unquote an X-Men.
Right. Because he was.
Because he's in that family.
Which, I was going to say, that's why the X-Men, go with
them. Right, that's why you had Colossus in there and this other mutant, and they called them mutants.
And again, the self-awareness of this movie is fantastic, because when he's like at the door and he's like, really, this big school like that? I only see the two of you. It's like the studio couldn't afford to get any pay for any more characters. I mean, God. You're right. This is better than Guardians of the Galaxy.
I believe. I mean, It's a different kind of movie.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, everything's different than we had this conversation about things are all different. Yeah, this was for what this was and for what Guardians was. I enjoyed this more.
Right,
but it was also. I really enjoyed Guardians though.
I enjoyed Guardians a lot. Taking anything away from Guardians.
And Emma's in
but you have to rank them.
But you rank them. The problem is, like, so, like, if I took my top,
you have to. I got a knife to your throat.
I mean, it would probably be. I mean, Deadpool's probably in there, top four, top five. But then, like, Spider-Man 2, is up there
with Doc Ock.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 was such a good movie. It's up there, and then I'd put, like, Guardians is up there. Like, Captain America: Winter Soldier to me was a fantastic movie. But again, it's a superhero movie, but it is a different it's a totally different type of movie than Deadpool. So, like, how can Deadpool you compare?
Deadpool does have an unfair advantage because it was rated R.
I don't put it on the rated R. It's just a totally different. It's a totally different kind of scope. Okay, so if Captain America's rated R, you have some more, like, blood and
you can be more badass.
And death.
Part of Deadpool's to me, part of Deadpool's greatness was the badassness of the.
But that's also part of his character and part of the shtick.
Well, then
Deadpool.
He's a fucking great character, and I like him.
Well, you know,
I'm not saying he's not, but it's a different type of type of movie that you're going for.
Right. Well, it's a comedy, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I laughed more in this than I did in
Dumb and Dumber 2.
I mean, I laughed more in The Notebook than I did in Dumb and Dumber 2.
But no doubt, this is definitely a comedy movie. And they were making fun of it. It is a love story. I mean,
yes.
You know, at the end when I really see a great love story there, you know, within these two characters.
And they did a good job selling it.
Right. I've heard criticism of the movie that it doesn't have a plot. And no character is flushed out.
It's an origin story.
Right.
And
it's like
his character is flushed out.
Right. But you have to know Deadpool. You know, or at least if you have to understand all of his comic books, it's all, you know. Yeah, I guess if you know nothing about the character or comics,
me,
you're gonna be very confused. No, but you know who Colossus is, and I didn't know who
Didn't matter.
I didn't know who that character. I knew right. Colossus, no,
she could have been a movie original. I don't care.
Right. Well, I think after learning, I think he was in one episode. He was debuted and died. Character. Right. Well, I tell you, you know, if you didn't know what you're walking into, then yes, you probably. I text that to y'all. I went and saw it. Whatever. Sad Sunday, and there was a couple.
Okay, but. These kinds of superhero movies have been out now for 16 years. And I get what you mean. Like, if you didn't know what you were walking into, who the fuck doesn't know that you walk into a superhero movie and then sees a Colossus in it and is like, well, I don't like this. It's not realistic anymore.
I'd
like to punch that person in the face.
And that's Deadpool. That's the whole thing with Deadpool. Even in his comics, he breaks the fourth wall. He knows he's a comic book character. In this movie, he knows that he's having a movie and that he's, you know, he knows he's a comic book character. That's what's so funny. And everybody can hear what he's saying, but they don't know. Like one time Colossus answered him and he said, I'm not talking to you. Fucking,
you know.
Or he asked him, who are you talking to? And they just
you could hear that.
Right. They just think that he's insane and that he's talking, you know, when he's actually talking to when he's breaking the fourth wall. So I thought, you know, I think that's hilarious. I love the way they do it. But no, with me, the couple who, I think it was the vulgarity of the movie that made the couple next to me get up and walk out. And they were old. They looked to be in their 50s or something.
The opening credits scene was fantastic.
They're
like, you know, a moody teenager, a CGI character.
Right. Instead of putting people's names. Yeah. Right. They put the type of character they were.
The visuals where they had the freeze frame of the car flipping and they started from so tight in where the bullet was, and then that rotating around it and zooming out, just really cool cinematography as well throughout the movie.
And the people who were, the whole movie took place on that bridge in that one fight because of how they, you know, kept
flashback.
And look, everything's not the fucking Godfather. Sometimes someone just makes a movie so you'll laugh and have a good time.
Hold on, that's what I don't understand. Wrong, right. No, that person is missing the whole fucking point. That scene was not the whole movie. That scene was the middle of the story. Just they happened to show it. You loved it when Pulp Fiction fucking did it.
I never watched that show.
Well, you mean that movie? You've never seen Pulp Fiction?
No. I've seen maybe you know, clips in 10 minutes, but no.
How have you never seen that movie?
But our listeners have, and they know what I'm talking about.
I don't like Quentin Tarantino.
They just happen to start the movie in the middle of the story. They got a flashback, catch up to this point, and then go from there. It's okay. That's not the whole that comment. Again, there's another person I want to punch in the neck.
Or in the dick.
Well, I'll tell you who it was. It's that remember that podcast you said you quit listening to that
Yeah.
They were just...
Oh, no, you listen? You still listen to that?
Yeah, not showing. Yeah,
you know, I'm not surprised.
Oh, I hated it. They ruined movies for you.
They hate everything.
Right. Because they could do better.
I don't know. I feel that they somehow work in the movie industry. I don't know if that's true or not.
No, they don't.
They work
in the movie industry like we work for the NFL.
They went to film school.
Or right, something like that. And so they're looking at, you know, well, you didn't know, develop this character. You didn't, you know, asshole. Everything isn't fucking is going to fit into your little goddamn
formula. Yeah.
Right. You know, and this was Daredevil was great. I laughed. I had a good time. I loved it. Like you said, yeah, I loved the visual effects. I thought the director did great. Deadpool. I loved the Deadpool. I thought
Miller did a great job.
Yeah, I thought the jokes. You know, and
I will say one thing. I was not sold on the villain being such this intelligent scientist guy. It didn't the muscly jock fighter guy being the scientist. I don't know.
Come on, Jeff. Haven't you seen movies?
I know.
Right. You know.
That is the one still kind of drawback to a lot of these comic book movies is the villains have not always been that great. It doesn't seem.
But I'm okay. Darth Vader was a great villain, right?
But that's not a comic book movie.
But it's not a comic movie. But still, but it was a villain.
I'm just talking about the comic book movies.
But
and Daredevil was a great villain.
I mean, fuck.
Because of the character.
Right, but that was also TV.
Hold on.
Over 13.
Right. Okay. I'm trying to figure out what you're trying to say, Jason.
A lot of these comic movies
that they haven't been built up in the movie.
Yeah, the villains haven't been really good villains. I mean, okay, so Obadiah Stane in Iron Man. Okay, he was an okay villain.
Okay, Kylo Ren is a good example of a good villain.
That's not a comic book fucking movie.
I know, but he's talking about just any movie.
So like in Iron Man 2,
how do you make a good villain?
Fucking Whiplash, he wasn't a great movie. In Iron Man 3,
because
Mandarin. Tell me what was the Mandarin with a fucking joke.
Do you really feel threatened by these guys? Like, do they really instill fear in you? Like a la a Darth Vader?
They don't, because they don't give the villain enough time to develop. It's just. He's got a badass ability, and that's why you should fear him. You just know he's bad. You don't know why he's bad or anything like that. If they'd spend a little more time on the villain's, say, origin story or the villain,
which is what I'm saying. They don't give you enough to make you appreciate the villain. He's like, oh, I'm just this guy that I'm antagonizing the good guys. So,
well, goodness, I think Darth Vader had
Magneto was a good villain. Ian McKellen, was it?
I mean, Darth Vader was on the screen less than, 10, 15 minutes in the original Star Wars?
Yeah.
I guess you don't have to give them time. I mean, Darth Vader was a good villain because he just fucking looked
badass. Because he had a fucking helmet on.
He looked badass.
And he had the Force. I mean, come on.
And he spoke with us.
He had a fucking lightsaber.
Right, right. And James Earl Jones' voice in the... Right.
You must avenge my death, Kimba. I mean, Simba. Luke, I am your father. This is CNN.
Will you guys pipe down?
But they didn't flesh out Darth Vader and the original.
You know what makes a good villain is right. The reason Whiplash wasn't intelligent is he was just some idiot who had whip.
That's it. Even like the dark elves in Thor 2. Eh.
No, just stupid.
Right, exactly.
That whole movie just.
They ought to do a comic book movie that's actually about the villain. That's not about the superhero.
Deadpool was originally a villain.
Yeah, but you know.
Now he is the modern day anti-hero.
I mean, really, the movie with the villain is The Dark Knight. Yeah, Seth Ledger's Joker.
I mean, that was great.
Like he was the movie.
Heath Ledger?
Yeah.
Did I say, I said Seth Ledger. That's his brother, Seth. Sorry, I meant Pete.
Brother Seth.
His Seth Pete.
All right, so this movie was pretty good.
It was fun. It was entertaining. If you haven't,
And I like when the girl's boob was out, and Colossus is like, "Oh, you're."
Right. It was an irreverent movie. That's who the character is. If you read his comic books, I mean, it's insane. You know, nothing ever makes sense. So this was wonderful. After making $300 million worldwide, which is more than Ant-Man made in this entire
world. No, it's not.
How much did Ant-Man make?
Worldwide, Ant-Man made over $500 million.
Oh, okay, maybe worldwide.
This was the number one top President's Day.
No, it beat the first X-Men gross. Like the first X-Men movie that came out in 2000. It beat that worldwide in its first week.
Do you think people
I know it was a long time
with
ago,
inflation
but it wasn't,
and everything else.
I know, but it wasn't. I mean, Ant-Man.
All right, but do you guys think that it did so well because when it first came out and everybody who saw it said it was good, and then that kind of built upon itself, or do you think people were going to see it no matter what?
I think people were going to see it because they did such a good job marketing the film with all these little snippets and videos that they would put out of Deadpool and his little 2-minute online clips.
He was everywhere.
They did a brilliant marketing job for it. And people knew about it, and people knew, holy shit, this might – like there's a lot of buzz going on.
Even the marketing felt like it broke the fourth wall, didn't it?
Well, of course, because he – yeah.
He played his character.
That's just the nature of the character.
And right. And look, Reynolds really sold this, you know, in this marketing.
The resurrection of his career.
Right. All right, we just said Blade Trinity.
He was
X-Men Origins,
and then he did a bunch. Uh-huh. Green Lantern Dud. He did
Green
R.I.P.D.
R.I.P.D. And now this, I can't think of anything else he's been. Oh, he did that one where he was trapped in a coffin.
He did that. Well, he did a good. He had a movie with Sandra Bullock, and that made a bunch of money. The Proposal. It was a few years ago. Betty White was in it. She played.
Van Wilder was great.
Oh yeah, but that was one of his first movies. but he played the snarky, sarcastic
right
thing in that movie. He sat around and just talked to him. He's a talker.
Deadpool is Van Wilder
with super abilities,
and he was in Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, the sitcom.
That's right, he was, and he was in this old show called 15 that came on Nickelodeon back in the '90s.
Okay,
well, Damon was older than us, so he wouldn't remember it. But
all right. Final thoughts, Jason.
Final thoughts. So there's been some news around ex-NFL player Darren Sharper lately. His plea deal, and he's going to get more prison. But what riles me up...
You know what really grinds my gears?
So many stories online say ex-Saint Darren Sharper. Ex-Saint Darren Sharper.
He played
with us 2 years. He played with the Packers and the Vikings for so much longer and made more of his career there. And yet every story about him starts off with ex-Saint, and not ex-Packer or ex-Viking.
Because that's where he committed all his crimes.
Well, no, he actually committed his crimes after he was retired. But do you think – are you reading local stories or these –
No, like Sports Illustrated had one. Ex-Saint Darren Sharper. It's not just locally. It's everywhere.
Well, that's probably where more people knew him because of the Super Bowl run.
But no, he made his career with the Vikings and the Packers, and they made the playoffs a bunch of times.
But did they win a Super Bowl with him? Well,
okay, we won one Super Bowl.
And how many picks did he get with us? He had a career year.
It was, but he made a career somewhere else. He had one good year here. He made a career somewhere else.
I get you. I get what you're saying.
Considering the years that he played, everything starts off with X.
You know what? You know what it is? Hey, all right, here you go. It's saying ex-Panther Sam Mills. Just because the last team he played for.
Well, it's not the last team he played for. I mean, there's a bunch of – Jerry Rice isn't known for playing for the fucking Raiders.
No, or Brett Favre. I mean
– All right, right.
Few people
go – Former Viking Brett Favre.
Right.
No, that's not what happens. So it just – it's.
But you have to admit Rice and Favre – had more success with the Packers and the Niners than they ever did with, you know, Rice played for the Raiders.
So Sharper was on two playoff teams here, but he was on multiple playoff teams elsewhere.
But he was on a Super Bowl winning team here.
Still.
He was on a Super Bowl winning team.
No.
And so what was the whole deal with that? What did they do? I didn't even look at.
Like the judge denied his plea deal. Like he tried to plea it down to 10 years, and the judge said, no, you're getting more than that. Or he made his decision. So now he's probably going to get 15 to 20. Instead of he was trying to plea down to 10.
Right. What a dick.
You're 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 a dick.
All right, then that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. Speaking of Facebook, actually, I do have something to read. Okay. All right, this guy comes in, says his name is Jason, actually. Hey, guys, glad you have a Facebook page. Greetings from Edmonton, Alberta.
Fuck Canada!
Hey, fuck you, buddy!
The last podcast was something, episode 226, Super Dome Patrol Podcast, part 2. I don't think I've ever heard Damon quite so animated since I began listening sometime during the 2014 season, nor wrong. At the end of the 13 season, I was making an argument for Manning to be in the conversation for best of all time with Brady and Montana. Brady clinched that title last year, and with his very good season this year, it's hard to argue against for anyone but Brady. I hope this message finds you all deep in debauchery and gluttony. Jason from Edmonton.
Yeah, well, first of all.
You guys were arguing about...
Yeah, hold on. Yes, we fucking remember.
Breeze. But Pete, somebody might not listen to the episode. We're arguing about Breeze versus Manning going down as the best ever. I think what he's saying is that
he's
throwing Brady into the mix.
He doesn't know anything about football. He's from Canada.
Hey, they have football up in Canada.
Yeah, but it had like the width of the field is 120 yard wide and it's 2 feet long. It's a virgin. It's a virgin of football.
Do you know who played up in Canada?
Bird.
Delvin Bro played in fucking Canada. And look how good he was.
Right. Okay.
Canada produced Delvin Bro this year.
You know who else played in Canada?
Akeem
you know
Hicks.
What I'm going to say?
Akeem Hicks.
Kurt Brandon Browner played in Canada.
God. Okay. We're not all perfect.
Right.
The Rock played in Canada. Look how he turned out.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Right. Look how he sucked, you know? But look, so Jason from Canada, I mean, his argument, just because he's Canadian, you just dismiss him, you know. Canada is America's hat. You know, that's what they are.
Hey, fuck you, buddy.
You know, but yeah, no doubt does Brady deserve to be there. I mean, does Brady deserve to be in the conversation? Sure, he has four Super Bowls, and I'm not sure that he won't get a fifth.
Hopefully Breeze gets a second or a third.
I hope Breeze gets an eighth. You know, I mean, obviously, I'm a Saints fan, but... But you cannot deny what Manning has done for so long. And when you look at the one thing you do when you take Brady, Manning, blah, 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 blah. You look at what Manning had around him and what Brady had around him. And I think from at least the outside looking in, we would all agree that the Patriots are a better organization than Manning ever had in Indianapolis.
Well, they're better than everybody else.
Right, but you know, but now I'm talking about an organization-wide. You know what I'm saying? Well, he had smarter coaches, smarter, you know. Manning was the whole kind of carrying the deal in Indy.
Kind of like Breeze over here.
I think Breeze has even more help from Sean Payton than Manning did in Indy.
But Breeze has also had a worse defense than Payton.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
All right. Well, we're going to table this, and we can talk. Best QBs of all time on next week's show, because there won't be much news to talk about anyway. So you can also follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, off-season mock draft donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Gumbo John was a swamper. He had a small cafe. Little old shack just outside of Baton Rouge. Everybody around said you had it made. If you were looking for the right kind of food, you just kick back and let the evening come.
out on the back porch and gumbo joints. Me and the boys and the band were needing a break. We were covered with road dust and the homesick blues. So we decided to starve and spend a few days, peel a few crawdads and check out the brew. Southern culture on the skid, but it sure is fun. Out on the back porch at Gumbo Jones. Alligator named Clyde out back in a little stream. He said, boys, he's a friend of mine, but he's still real mean. He said, you know, I used to play the guitar myself. He held up his hands, just had two fingers left. It was feeding time one evening, he'd had a few beers. Guess it got just a little too close, cause one chomp and old Clyde, he ended his musical career. But he could still rap back and sing that jolly blues out on the back porch, Gumbo Jones. Oh, you just kick back and let the evening come. Out on the back porch, Gumbo Jones.